RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Mr. Banks. When I'm saying welcome to everybody around the planet, please do not interrupt my flow. It mucks me up.
Yes, but ladies and gentlemen, he said three. He didn't do the 2-1.
But that's because you don't. You go three.
You go three,
click,
two,
clock.
One.
No.
To be fair, Lee, he's not used to talking to you from the future.
That's true. Hi, everybody. This is Postcard from Pot Brad. We start off a wonderful day with a broadcasting disaster. Marvellous. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. It's very sunny today. It's beautifully warm. Bright blue skies. And it's the 50th birthday of Radio Caroline. Ding, ding.
I remember Caroline under my bedclothes.
Stop it. We're not going there. We will very shortly be crossing over and talking to the last captain of the MV Ross Revenge, the guy that was in charge of Radio Caroline when it was out on the North Sea. And I've been delving into the vaults. I've had a delve.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And I found Sir Tom Jones, Marianne Faithfull, a very young Stevie Wonder, all saying happy birthday to Radio Caroline, and in tune some of them as well. But before that, Rach, we're going to say hello to you, because you're the ladies first, and you're both in Australia, so it's ladies first. Rachel!
Thank you so much. I've had just a fantastic week. I'm sure that there's something that you want to say to me.
Happy birthday to you,
to you.
Squash tomatoes and stew, bread and butter in the gutter.
In the gutter.
Happy birthday to you,
Randell.
That is the best thing that happened to me all week now. I could honestly say that was the best thing. But it's all wonderful here in Darwin. It's lovely and it's sunny and the dry season is just about ready to come along and the humidity's starting to drop and I'm all very pleased about it. It's all good.
Good. And in Mozzieland it is?
Lee G. Banks in Perth of a Nation.
Right.
That's a film. That's a reference to a film.
Oh, is it?
Mm.
Yeah. You, Philistine.
I watched a film once.
Yeah,
it was
No, it was not silent. And I've watched it more than once. You got it, Rachel. Rock on. Yes.
It was made by a firm called PORN.
Yes, Rachel was right. It's called The Boat That Rocked.
The Boat That Rocked. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, he was on it.
No, it wasn't.
I get the prize from Tesco. Is it a Findus?
Oh, no. That's why I wish you were on it.
You're right. Anyway, with all that, ladies and gentlemen, this is your sideways look at the news on a number of outlets, including Talk Radio X and Breeze and Rewind and Replay Rewind and many other things. And you wonderful people walking down the road, as happened to me last week. Some bloke walked past my balcony because I was just having a glass of water out on the balcony, you understand?
She said, like, don't jump!
Because it was nice and warm for a little bit if you're out of the wind. And this bloke comes wandering down the road, he looks up, sees me, and he holds his phone up and goes, Eric! And he'd actually got the radio station on, he was listening to us.
Oh, fandom.
Oh,
did
nice.
You wave at him like you were Ava Perone?
No. But I will say thank you to Rado, who was a gentleman walking down the road listening to the radio. Thank you, mate. And now, Rachel's going to kick things off this week. Rach?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to kick things off, sadly kick things off. Homeland actor James Reborn has died at the age of 65. People would know him as a character actor. He's one of those actors who you see him on television or in a film and you go, I know that dude, but you don't necessarily know his name. He was a really famous character actor. He was in shows such as The Good Wife, 30 Rock. He was in movies like Meet the Parents, My Cousin Vinny, Carlito's Way, Basic Instinct. He was also the nasty headmaster in Scent of a Woman.
Really?
That might be a reference that people, that people remember.
Oh, but sorry, no, I don't watch films, so no.
I know, only that one Boat That Rocked.
That's right.
But yes, more recently he was in Homeland, and he was played the father of the Claire Danes character, and he was really great, and everybody knew him, respected him, and loved him. And he unfortunately was diagnosed with melanoma back in 1992, and he kept on working until about a month ago, and then died at the age of 65, which in my opinion is far too young.
Yeah, but fair play to the guy for just saying sod it and getting on with it.
Exactly right. Absolutely. You know, there was no way he wasn't going to do that. He's one of those, you know, you can tell he's one of those guys. He's like, whatever, I'm going to get on and do it. So, yeah,
good man.
You know, good on him, and he'll be missed.
That's a nice Aussie attitude. Nice Aussie attitude.
And what a good name for somebody who's just died, reborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Very appropriate.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, very. Condolences to his family, as always. But a lot of great legacy with that man. A lot of great legacy. Absolutely huge. Cool. Yeah. We are coming, boys and girls, to you guys who are waiting. I know you're waiting for the special tribute that's coming up here on RTR. I nearly said Caroline for a minute. that's because the boss phoned me and said, have you seen all the coverage? Well, it doesn't talk like that, actually. Have you seen all the coverage from Radio Caroline on the television? Yes, says I. And he says, we should go and have a look at all this stuff. Yes, says I, being the good employee that I am. But before all of that, we have the big topic of the week. It surpasses Nick Clegg and the other geezer doing an EU debate on LBC radio television, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
It surpasses even the UN having a go at Russia. It is.
Yeah, it does.
It is looking for cures for mosquito bites. Oh, hang on. I think I got that wrong. Hang on, Rach. Rach, I think we got that wrong. So what we're looking for is an antidote for the mosquitoes. For the mosquitoes when Lee bites them.
Well, yeah. I know that's the thing, isn't it? Because it's the alcohol that I imbibe in that really should have killed them all, but it doesn't. And I tried those
You're not drinking enough, then.
Exactly. Rachel recommended some alcohol wipes. Excuse me, was I talking while you were interrupting?
Excuse me, let her interrupt, because she knows the stuff better than you do.
She said use alcohol wipes.
No, she didn't.
Horrible.
I said somebody tried them once, but these are Australian mosquitoes. They love their alcohol. So, you know, more you imbibe, it's like you're like a gigantic mosquito pub. And they're going and having a great big drink.
One day. 27 bites in one day. It was like they were putting little perforations around my legs. It was like my legs were going to drop off.
You're a Tetley tea bag.
That's exactly what it felt like, except it wasn't much tea coming out.
I care, and I did a lot of very deep research about this, and I found several different remedies for you to try. Some of them are just completely stupid. Some of them you should do because they're hilarious, and most of them probably won't work, but I did it anyway because I'm Rachel and I care.
Right.
Now, let's go. You remember that, you know that baby teething gel, Bonjela?
Yeah.
That works.
I think they're a really good band, actually. I've been to see them live.
Yeah, right.
That works. Rub the juice from a cut onion on your motorbike. We'll stop it.
Say?
Yeah, that's good, Rach, because it's acidic.
Yes.
Antihistamine is better than acid.
Another thing that another lady has suggested, she would have a shower and then deodorant. Let me finish.
Oxymoron. You put the words Lee and shower in the same sentence.
Oh, that's right. That was silly. I'll move on to the next one.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a good one for you. This is a good one for you because it's cheap. You make paste out of water and baking soda. Apparently that works. Here is my favourite.
I've to the occasion since I've had these bites, yes.
Do you have to put him in the oven and cook him afterwards?
Oh, no, that's terrible. That's a perversion.
This is my favourite one. My favourite.
I wasn't used to do that, you know.
This woman has suggested that she apply rubbing, she put rubbing alcohol or an alcohol wipe on, and then immediately afterwards a piece of scotch tape directly on the bite.
I don't know where I went, Rachel. Rachel, know where I went. I thought you said rub an alcoholic.
No, an alcohol wipe, rub it on the mosquito bite, and then slap sticky tape on it.
Sticky tape?
Yeah, so anyway, charcoal tablets, somebody suggested that. Another one suggested the deodorant. Somebody suggested running a spoon under hot water and then putting the spoon on top of the bite and holding it there for a while. Banana skin, rubbing banana skin. Oatmeal is always a good one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's my favourite is before you leave the house, just drown yourself in repellent, you stupid man.
Before you leave the house, don't go out, basically. And the other thing, I tried I tried that sticky tape one, and I looked like a see-through mummy.
Yeah, but that's just funny. That's just hilarious. My last suggestion is for you to walk around in a gigantic hazmat suit.
Yeah, that works.
Hazmat suit? What's a hazmat?
You know those suits that they put you in when you have to go into radioactive places?
Hmm. Like a big bubble.
Yeah, like a big, those big orange suits, you know, those big yellow suits with the face mask.
I've got bad sinuses.
Well, anyway.
You don't know that.
The same thing would be, as Rachel said, to spray yourself all over with insect repellent before you go out where the insects are.
I'm not like a dog. I don't go around spraying things.
Well, see, that's
it's
your
not
problem.
Funny. You're all making light of this. It's not funny. I'd been bitten on one of them. One of them was actually a big red-backed spider. It came across the table to me. It was as big as a chair. And it jumped inside my shorts.
Yes.
And it bit me right next to my gentleman's sausage. And it was like I'd grown a second gentleman's sausage in the morning.
Yes.
How many days ago did that happen?
3 days ago. It's like Jeremy Clarkson's gentleman's sausage.
You're
now
dead. Right, on that happy note, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we move over to our special documentary of the week, our tribute to 50 years of the legend that is Radio Caroline. You'll be hearing the last ship's captain at the end of the programme. Before that, we start with the first ever record show that was played on Radio Caroline. You will hear some of the stars talking with their thoughts of Radio Caroline and a little commercial for a little radio set that they used to sell as well. Marvellous, isn't it? This is Radio Caroline.
Hello and happy Easter to all of you. This is Christopher Moore with the first record program on Radio Caroline. The first record is by the Rolling Stones, and I'd like to play it for all of the people who worked to put the station on the air, and particularly for Rona.
Hello, this is Hank Marvin of the Shadows here.
How are you, all right?
And this is Bruce Walsh, folks.
How are you?
This is John Russell. Hello.
And this is Brian Bennett.
Hello, folks.
Well, I believe this is Radio Caroline's first birthday, and we're all very pleased to hear it, as Caroline is one of our favourite radio stations. And we'd just like to wish it many more birthdays and many more fine plays on the air, folks.
When we were making our short film, Rhythm and Greens, we had to get up very early in the morning, sometimes 5:30. 6 o'clock, and the only thing that kept us going was the broadcast of Radio Caroline, which came in very well indeed over the car radios, and there was about 6 or 7 there all at the same time. And so we'd like to say how much we have enjoyed this during the past year, and we hope it'll carry on for many more.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, Radio Caroline!
This is Roy Orbison, and I would like to extend my birthday greetings to Radio Caroline, the first anniversary, and I hope the next few years are as successful as the previous one, and a big happy birthday.
This is Dusty Springfield. I'm very, very happy to be able to send out my good wishes to Radio Caroline on your first birthday. It's been marvelous to be able to turn on the radio in the car or something or anywhere and hear some really good music for change. And it's been very good, particularly because you've been playing my records a lot. And I'd like to thank very much all the DJs aboard the two ships for helping me so much. Thanks a lot, and have a great spring and summer, and a very, very happy birthday.
Hi, this is Stevie Wonder, wishing everyone at Radio Caroline a very happy birthday and many more. Oh, yeah.
This is Tom Jones wishing Radio Caroline a happy birthday and a swinging future. That is 65, 66, and I hope 67, 68, 69. I think it's a wonderful program. I would like to thank them very much for plugging my record and the records in future.
This is Marianne Faithful. I would like to wish Radio Caroline many congratulations on this their first birthday. They have helped many new people in the world of popular music, including myself, and we all do appreciate it very much. Thank you for arriving, Caroline. May you stay for a long time.
This is a story of man's fight for freedom. The beginning is in the past, the middle is now, the end is in the future. It is a story of sadness and of triumph. August the 14th, as disc jockeys Robbie Dale, Johnny Walker and Ross Brown leave Liverpool Street, London, spurred on toward the sea by the hundreds of cheering people. See them now as they stand on the tender. There are tears in their eyes as their families, their homes and their loved ones are left behind. 3 o'clock on this Monday afternoon, and on 266, Big Lil is heard for the last time. Caroline is alone. These three men prepare for midnight. For in a few hours' time, they are to challenge the might and the power of the British government. They will become criminals. Midnight approaches. It is August the 15th. Johnny Walker announces that Caroline belongs to you, that she loves you and she will continue. The Beatles sing All You Need Is Love. These two men sound happy, but underneath they are sad, for they now know that they have passed the point of no return. They are not sad for long. They are joined by other men who also gave up so much to fight for freedom. The seas are rough and cruel. Life is hard. But as each day passes, the moment of triumph draws nearer. The British people rally round. They send food. They send comfort. And they send their love. All you need is love. And love overcomes. The British government relents. Caroline raises her anchor and heads for England. See her now majestically and proudly sailing up the river toward the capital that has welcomed so many victors in British history. But none as victorious as these men. They stand on the deck waving to the millions of people who line the Thames. This time the tears flooding from their eyes are tears of happiness. The insurmountable odds have been surmounted. They reunite with their families, with their friends, with their loved ones. We are near the end of our story. London's skyline has a new landmark pointed toward the heavens. Caroline's aerial. At last, beaming out its love and music to a free and peaceful nation. We have overcome. The battle is over. Free radio becomes a way of life, but never taken for granted. For no man will ever forget Monday, August the 14th, 1967.
Me amigo, me amigo, me amigo, Thames Coast Guard, Thames Coast Guard, Thames Coast Guard, 2182. Me amigo, Thames Coast Guard, from Harry's lifeboat, he has about 1 mile to run. Can you confirm that you're all ready to come off? He'll be with you shortly, over. This is Thames, Roger, well, he'll be with you shortly. Can you confirm just 5 souls on board, over? This is Thames, Roger, and everybody is coming off.
Radio Caroline broadcasting on 319 metres, 963 kilohertz. Well, we're sorry to tell you that due to the severe weather conditions and also to the fact that we're shipping quite a lot of water, we're closing down. And the crew are at this stage leaving the ship. Obviously, we hope to be back with you as soon as possible. But we'd just like to assure you all on land that there's nothing to worry about. We're all quite safe. Just for the moment, we'd like to say goodbye. Tom?
Yeah, it's not a very good occasion, really. I have to hurry this because the lifeboat is standing by. We're not leaving and disappearing. We're going onto the lifeboats, hoping that the pumps can take it. If they can, we'll be back. If not, well, I don't like to say it.
I think we'll be back one way or another,
yeah,
Tom.
I think so.
From all of us, for the moment, goodbye and God bless.
So as I said, girls and boys, ladies and gentlemen, 50 years ago, this very day, Radio Caroline was launched, and look what it's done to me over the years. Captain Campbell, no, seriously, Captain Campbell from the MV Ross Revenge is on postcard from Poprad. Captain Campbell, hello.
Hello there.
How are you, young sir?
I'm very well, very good indeed.
Now, you, sir, have been a driving force between God knows what on the ship in its day, now on land doing stuff. What are you doing for the 50th anniversary, sir?
Well, actually, tomorrow, the 28th, we're actually going to celebrate 50 years of the Pop Pirates. That's all the pop stations that were around in the 60s. Caroline, London, City, loads of Ontario Radio. So lots going on at Walton-on-the-Naze in Essex, the birthplace of the UK Pop Pirates. 10:30, we're going to start at the local lifeboat house. We're using the local lifeboat to take DJs out, and we're going to ring the original Radio Caroline bell to mark 50 years of the Pop Pirate stations.
Wonderful. Now, what's quite ironic is you're working with the RNLI as well as you, and yet the RNLI were the people that came running in every now and again to save your bacon.
Yes, they did. That's quite true, Eric. And without them, I think we'd have lost perhaps a few lives and maybe more ships over the years.
And what, tell me, for those that don't understand this, what was it like being on the MV Ross Revenge, you know, in that awful weather that you get in the North Sea?
Most of the time it was fine because she was such a big ship and we had a 300-foot-high tower. The actual tower acted as a sail when it blew hard, so the ship would lean over slightly and it'd be very comfortable on board, so it wasn't a problem. She's a fantastic ship, and as you know, she's still around. She's down in Tilbury, so long live Radio Caroline.
Absolutely. Now, we always get the negative stories about Radio Caroline and what went wrong on the ship and who nearly broke their toenail, etc., etc. What are your fondest memories of being out there?
How long have you got?
As long as you like.
Lots of fond memories. Cooking for the crew and the DJs, painting the ship, having all my favourite records played on air.
That's cheating. Cheating.
There you go. I just got to pick out my top 10 and say to the DJ, there you go, you play it. And they did. No problems at all.
Well, I suppose if you're the captain, they do as they're told.
Most of them did it, most of the time, yeah.
And do you still stay in touch with the guys? Is the communication with you lot?
Well, since I've been, Chris and I have both been organising this event for the last 6 months, so we have got in touch with the guys again. Peter, Malcolm, as you know him, talking to Malcolm a lot. So, and after the event, I shall get down and see Peter, Malcolm, as I should say, and see how he is. So, yeah, we tried to get the ship up here for the event, but because of the powers to be, it's just impossible, Eric.
Yeah, the blasted DTI again. And, I mean, I actually spoke to Ronan a couple of weekends ago, bless him, and he was the driving force, but also very inspirational to everybody out there, correct?
He was an incredible guy. We have Ronan to thank for it, but I met him on many occasions, and he was a totally crazy guy, but a lovely guy to know. I wish he could make it. He sent a beautiful email to us, which I replied to with a beautiful email. So, fantastic guy. But without him, who would have heard of the Stones and the Beatles and the Beach Boys and people like that?
Well, exactly. And I'll tell you what, there's one other interesting thing that was actually on Facebook the other day, talking about the radio ships. And they said, well, you know, in 50 years' time, who will we be talking about, if anybody? Why does Caroline just keep going the way it does, in your opinion?
Good question, Eric. I don't know.
If I could help answer that, Eric, I mean, it's
please.
Chris here. Hi.
Hi, Chris.
If I could help answer it, from my perspective, Eric, I think it's the fact that we've got or Caroline has got the unique splendor of broadcasting or having broadcast from a ship, which captured people's imagination. I mean, when you've got a presenter's broadcasting on the high seas with a bucket in one hand and a microphone in the other, it tends to capture the imagination a bit. And, you know, people would listen in all these circumstances. It wasn't just the elements that was against Caroline. It was the government as well, or governments of the day as well.
I know that feeling, Chris.
I think that really did add to the mystique of it. And after that, I think Caroline, as she exists today, I mean, through the period of the time after the Ross Revenge, I think that they're riding on the back of that legacy, Eric.
Yeah, but having said that, Chris, this is one thing I don't understand, because the thing that made Caroline work in the 1960s was actually Ronan and Radio Caroline pioneering technology, bringing out those, you know, stick them in your school blazer pocket transistor radios for not a lot of money. About 30 bob as it was in those days, £1.50 today. And they were driving technology which got the radio to the people. And today, Radio Caroline's on the next place of technology, the internet, to reach all these things. And I don't understand why people think that's a negative, do you?
No, I don't understand that at all. I think, yes, there's a very, very poignant point you've made there in terms of the fact that it wasn't just the new music that was arriving, which people wanted anyway, and which the BBC at the time couldn't handle, bless them.
Oh, don't swear.
But, of course, obviously, I mean, you had the transistor radio as well that coincidentally was becoming very, very commonplace, or more and more commonplace at that time. So people were able to listen whilst they were cleaning windows up a ladder. I remember seeing a piece of footage on TV once. It was just that, literally that. These youngsters going around window shopping with, you know, a transistor radio in one ear, listening to One of the Pirates, probably Caroline. Mm. But now, here we are with a transistor radio-sized device called an Android phone, and you can listen to Caroline via the internet.
We have to mention Windows as well, you see, because we like them. But, no, you're absolutely right, because on more than one occasion I've been sitting just having a glass of water, you understand, on my balcony, and a couple of people have come by, they've held their phones up and said, "Eric!" And you can see on their phones they're listening to the radio, but they just happen to be listening via the internet. And it is where it's going to go, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, and it's only technology that moved along. I mean, I remember when I was helping to broadcast on Caroline, initially very part-time from the Ross, and then later on, obviously via your facilities as well, and then on shortwave from Ireland, from Southern Ireland.
Yep.
There's all means through which Caroline, of course, has been broadcast, and now, of course, she's on internet. It's evolved over that time, from the time when she started on medium wave back in 1964 to where we are now. It's gone through a very colourful spectrum of how Caroline is broadcast through the ether.
Yes.
I think it will obviously continue well after the Android era as well.
Exactly. Now, listen, we've got to finish, but I want to go back to the captain for a second, because it's going to be him. He's got to finish this off.
Hang on, Eric, because I'm afraid that Tony, as Captain Campbell, has actually been called to the bridge. So, very sorry. We've got all manner of media, literally from around the world, and I'm not joking.
Hello.
including yourself, Eric, as Viceroy for him. I would be only too pleased. He's been called to the bridge, which is the press room.
Right. In which case, I'll just say one thing. Why do people stay with Caroline?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I mean, I certainly don't think it's anything necessarily to do with the program format, probably. It may not be to do with the presenters. I think it's to do with the brand image and the fact that the same people that are running it now were running it or have been handed the baton to run it ever since those early 60s days or mid-60s days when it was broadcast from the ship. I think if it had changed, like you know, for instance, if the Pink Floyd had changed their name to the Three Curtains, I think they would have a few problems in selling records. The fact that Caroline has kept its name and the similar people are involved, I think that's probably the part of his success.
Indeed, Chris. Well, look, to everybody, thank you for letting me come on the ship this morning, even via cyberspace. I wish you all the best, and here's to another 50 years, Chris.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot then, Eric.
And see,
good luck with everything your end as well.
See you later. Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI